So this is what Little Zion looks like. Brother Joe had invited me here years and years ago, and things kept coming up and coming up. This time, when I got the email that they were holding this meeting, I immediately said, I'm gone. And I put it on my calendar. Then this past week, I realized that I had double booked this meeting and then another meeting. And I was telling my wife about it. She said, well, you go where you want. I'm going to Bellflower. Yeah, well, you ain't going nowhere without me. So here we are, and I thank God. And I'm the same way. I've met Brother Daniel through OBW, and wife and I were talking this morning. I feel like I already know the man. Never met the man. Never seen him before. But we've talked, and I've heard him speak on the scriptures and the mysteries of God. And I thank God for it. I thank God for Elder Joe being patient with me and getting down here. But we're here. And here to have a good time and glorify our Father. And I pray that we've already gotten off to a good start because I love the singing. From the book of Acts, if the Lord would be pleased, I ask a deep interest in your prayers. And I've already been mentioned to me by three different people how my shoes are. And I set my shoes by the bed and set two suits next to them. I picked up the suits and left the shoes, so here I am. I don't think the Lord is watching my feet anyway. At least not the shoes I'm wearing. The writer says here, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, I commend you to God. And this word simply means to present one as suitable for approval or acceptance. If I commend you, I'm entrusting for your care or for your preservation that you may be taken care of. First thing I thought about as I was reading, if I commend you to God that he will preserve you, watch over and care for you, first thing, I must believe in God. I must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him.
Amen. Amen.
And if we have been made suitable for approval, if we have been entrusted for care or preservation, sounds to me like we've been justified. And we can't do that. That's due to the Lord Jesus and his work on earth. Job's so-called friends asked him, how can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? One thing is for sure, we cannot justify ourselves. We cannot commend ourselves. Someone else has to do that. I cannot present myself suitable or acceptable for approval, I need outside witnesses that I'm worthy of your trust and your care. You may learn that over time, but initially, someone else has to. That's why Paul says, the writer of Luke says, now I commend you to God. He'd been with them for a while. He knew those churches. He knew those people. I trust you. I trust that God will watch over you and keep you in the way. We're going to have troubles in life. So what are we going to be preserved from? In the Proverbs we find, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Now we all going to encounter trouble. Jesus lets us know that in this life we are going to have trouble. But I've overcome, in the world you're going to have trouble, but I have overcome the world. So we may have trouble, we may go through adverse conditions, but he's still going to bring us through. He's going to bring us through. It may take some shaping. As God the Lord told Jeremiah, what do you see? He asked him. Jeremiah said, I see a potter, and there's clay marred in the potter's hand. The Lord let Jeremiah know, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And if the clay, if the potter is molding and molding and shaping that clay, it has to undergo some pressure. It has to, you know, go through some portions of it while it's being molded. That just, if it was us, we just might not be very comfortable. But you know what? The scriptures will take you out of your comfort zone if we let God's word be true and every man a lie. And then he says on another occasion, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked, preserve me from evil men. Now, we can have troubles, but it's not always from evil people. It's just the way of the world. We make wrong decisions. We make bad decisions. We make good decisions, and it's hard for people to understand. You may do everything right, and it still turns out wrong. It still turns out wrong. But God is watching. He is watching. He is preserving us, and we entrust him in his prayer. Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. I'm going to turn to it, but I'm not going to read all of it. And he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, now I am no more in the world, but these, his disciples, these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. And he asked the Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, for they are thine. And you gave them to me, all mine are thine. And I'm coming home. I'm paraphrasing. I'm coming home. I'm going to leave them here in the world. They're not of the world, but I'm going to leave them in the world. Keep them, Father. Keep them. Sounds to me like he is commending us to God, and not only them, but to all them that love his appearance because of my word. Sounds to me like he's commending us in the hands of the Father. And what better hands can we be in? You know, Moses asked the Lord, if you are really on my side, and you put me over this people to leave them out of Israel, and we've been in the wilderness, if you are truly on my side, show me a sign. The Lord said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to put my hand over you. And I'm going to pass by. You can't look on my face and live, but you're going to see my backside and see my glory. Now, what better place could you be? You standing on a solid rock, which in my case is Jesus. The hand of the Lord is over you. What better position could Moses be in? Now, sometimes we get in ourselves and we ask for signs. Lord, if you're with me, let me know you are with me. Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. That is, Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That's the only sign you got. That's what he gave us. And we have to believe that and walk by faith and not by sight. And then I hear people say, well, he didn't say a whale. He said a great fish. Well, Jesus said a whale. So if Jesus said a whale, it's a whale. Now, yeah, it was a great fish. But God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That fish had a purpose. And it's also, far as I'm concerned, his sole purpose in life was to swallow up Jonah, take him to where God wanted him to be, and spit him out, and the fish is done. But I don't care if it was a whale. It could have been a trout for all I care. God prepared a great fish. And when people start asking that, and I warn folks sometimes, what Satan wants to do with all of us is cause us to doubt the word of God. He did it with Eve back in the garden. All he introduced God. Well, I was introduced doubt. And when you introduce doubt in your mind, then you begin to question. And once you begin to question, now you start looking for answers, visible answers. And when you're looking for certain answers, you're not walking by faith. You're walking by sight. And that's what the devil wants you to do. Question God. Doubt his word. Did the Lord say, thou shalt surely die? Are you really going to die? God knows if you eat of the fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. She began to look at it, and then she began to touch the fruit, and she was already on the wrong path. On the wrong path. But we do that. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to doubt. Don't doubt God and don't put limits on his power. Amen. Amen. I was talking to somebody a couple of months ago. In fact, I think I mentioned it last Sunday in a sermon. And they had made the statement that animals only act by instinct. And I don't believe that for a minute. I believe they do some things. If you have dogs or cats, they got their own personality. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as I'm concerned, instinct is eating, drinking, procreation, and seeking shelter. That's instinctive. People do that, animals do it. They don't have to think about it. You just do it. But according to what the word said, if you eat of that fruit, you shall know good from evil. We know good from evil. We know right from wrong. Animals don't always act. In fact, I mentioned this last Sunday. My wife and I they were my wife's birds. I never claimed them. we used to have cockatiels. And I'd be in my office, sit doing some work, and one would fly on one shoulder, one would fly and land on the other. I got so many shirts with the collar eaten, tipped off. And so I decided I'm going to keep them out. I went to Walmart and I bought some mesh screen and I put it over the door, went in their office and they were sitting on the cage. And then here they come flying into that mesh screen and they got to squawking and squawking because they couldn't get in. And then they flew back to the cage and I looked out at them and they're sitting on the cage and they was just chirping. I don't know if they was talking. I don't know what they was doing. What I do know, I'm sitting at my computer, and out of the corner of my eye, I see these two birds walking on the floor. Flew up to my shoulder, nibbled on my ears. So what in the world? So I took them, put them back on the cage. They got sat there, then they slid down the bars, slid down the legs, walked on the ground, walked right into the office. It was that instinct. I don't think so. So anyway, I just had to put that in there. Birds do that. We don't. And when after Jesus had prayed for us, we are still in his hands. As we take our leave and go our separate ways once this meeting is over, and I pray that the Spirit stays here till we're done, and then continues to be here. We go our separate ways. I always pray, may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth and forever. Amen. Amen. I pray once I leave here, I can commend all of you to God, that he will watch over you. that he will guide you, that he will protect you from dangers both seen and unseen. And he has done it from the early existence of our lives, even down to this present moment of time. And then Paul writes in the Roman book, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. He goes on to name others, Priscilla and Aquila, and he goes on to ask them, accept them, for they are my helpers in the Lord. Salute them when they come. They have done much good with me in the Lord. So I say that to all of you. I commend you to God. I can only go so far. I can only do so much. But sometimes I have to leave it in God's hands. You know, Daniel, they were jealous of Daniel because the king admired Daniel. And the king wanted to make him third person in the kingdom. Well, some of the princes and the counselors, they got jealous. They didn't like that. And so they decided they would put together a decree and write it and have the king sign it. And so they put this decree together and then they went to the king. And first thing they do, start swelling his head. Oh, king, live forever. And you know, doggone well, you weren't going to live forever. But, oh, king, live forever. You are blowing his head up. You're so great. We want you to write a decree that if anybody calls on any other god but you, any other man but you, for the next 30 days, they should be thrown into the lion's den. Because they knew we can't find an occasion against Daniel. But what we can do is find an occasion against him and his God and the law of his God. And when Daniel heard about it, he just ignored it. Daniel's three times a day, he would open the window, face towards Jerusalem, and pray. No matter what they said, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. Do you do that when you're going through adversity? Do you still go to church when things are not going your way? Do you still communicate with your fellow Christians, your fellow believers, when things are just not going your way? Keep on doing what you've been doing. I remember when I got laid off from Clorox back in 1996, and my mother and father, my wife, my son, what are we going to do now if you don't work for Clorox? God gave me the job. He gave me another. I'm going to keep doing what we've been doing. We're going to keep going to church. We're going to pray. We're going to keep doing what we've been doing. And he will watch over us. Well, heck, this is 2024. That was 28 years ago. We're still fine. We're still doing well. I thank God every day for it. But I can't worry about what men can do, what companies can do. As I had to tell one manager one time, I found this job, I found another one. Because God is not going to leave me out here alone. I just don't believe that. I know he's going to watch over. I know he's going to watch over us. And you ought to be able to say that with conviction. Amen. And then the king, after he had signed the decree, and they came back to the king and said, this man is not obeying your law. He's bowing three times a day, praying to God in Jerusalem. And back then, once a king said something, it had to be done. And if he had put it in writing and signed it, it had to be done. And so they took Daniel and put him in a lion's den. And the king told Daniel, your God will watch over you. I'm paraphrasing. Your God would take care of you. So they put Daniel in the lion's den. The scripture says he could not sleep all night long because he loved Daniel. He respected him, but he had to obey the man's laws. The king got up early in the morning, ran to the lion's den. Oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve, was he able to protect you from the mouth of the lion? Daniel told, God has locked the lion's jaws, and I am in no hurt. Basically, what that king was saying, Daniel, I commend you to God. Daniel, I pray that you are suitable for approval to him. Daniel, I'm praying that your God, he didn't say my God, he said your God will watch over you. And I'm telling you now, your God and my God will watch over you. And Daniel told him, there's no hurt come upon me. The angels came down and he locked the lion's jaws or whatever he did. They didn't hurt him. As I pray for you and pray for me, I pray that he will continue to watch over you in all of your efforts. And not only that, just pray for all the churches. Pray for everyone that you think about. Ever since I got that email, I've been praying for this church. I've been praying for this meeting. And I know God was going to meet us here. Because that's what he is. That's who he is. And he's going to make sure his people get fed. We went through COVID. And we couldn't have churches. Couldn't have meetings with more than 10 people. Medical community was saying it was just too dangerous. Don't do it. Well, I didn't do it. Listen, if you, especially the elderly, well, I'm past 70, so it's like I'm just not going. But you know what? Even through that, God made a way. Amen. To get his word out. Amen. To his people. I never thought I'd be using Zoom. Made no sense to me. I use it now every Sunday, every meeting I go to. And it goes out not only to our membership, it goes out to people across the country. I got 2-3 pastors' friends in Africa. The word of God is going out all over the world because God is going to make sure his people gets fed. He's going to make sure you get what you need. Now, what medium is exposed to? Ain't none of my business. My business is to preach the gospel of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread his word the best I can, as best I can, whenever I can, at every opportunity that is put forth before me. And you can too. I've heard people say, well, Gene, I don't know a whole lot of scriptures like you do. You don't have to. You can testify to anybody what the Lord has done for you. Everybody can do that. Every child of God has a testimony. Sister Vivian Jordan used to say there's no such thing as a testimony without a test. We all have been tested. And we are still being tested. And we can tell everybody or anybody about a God that loves you. This is what he has done for me. This is how he has blessed me. And he will bless you too. He will bless you too. You don't have to know a whole lot. Well, you should know some. You ought to be reading your Bible every day. You ought to be meditating on the word of God every day. You ought to commit some scripture to memory that you can share with somebody else. But even if you don't, you can tell them what God has done for you. You can tell people what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. And if you can do that, if the Lord would just give you strength to do that, you don't have to stand up in public speaking. There was a survey once that said a number of people would rather die than speak in public. They were more afraid of speaking in public than dying. It's crazy to me, but I have to look back. There was a time I was pretty shy, too. In fact, I'm still shy. I know you may not believe it or think that, but I still am. That's still my nature. But I tell people all the time, I don't like to talk on the telephones. I just don't. I don't call anybody unless I have a reason, I got something to talk about. Then I call you. But you start talking about the word of God, we can talk all day long. We can talk all day long. And I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. He will build you up. And no matter what adverse circumstances you may go through, he can give you love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit. And that can give you peace of mind, ease of mind, put you from depression to a happy place. The Word of God can do that. It builds people up. John, we talk about it quite a bit, and even with my own families, my son and his wife and her parents and all of my family, and we got together to go out to dinner, and we get to talking about the Word of God. I don't care who here. And there was a couple that was across the table from us, and they was just trying to hear. And we got up to leave, and they got up too. And the wife said, "Which one of you guys is the preacher?" Brother Bill said, "He's the preacher. I'm a deacon." And she loved to hear what the Word of God was saying. She loved John. They were talking about same thing. They were talking about God. This man got up. "Where's your church?" And we get that a lot. "Where's your church? I want to come visit you." So I don't even look for them anymore. I pray that the Lord would put it on their heart to come visit, but they ain't none of my business. I tell them, let them know. And while they were getting ready to leave, that man paid for their lunch just because he could hear the Word of God. You know, people want to hear the truth, and you ought to be able to give it to them. Everyone, not just the preachers, not just the deacons, every one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, we ought to be able to give them something according to what thus saith the Lord. I get called sometime, "Well, Gene, you know my situation. If you were in my condition, what would you do?" I never answer that question, because what I think don't mean a thing. As my brother John is so fond of saying, what I think won't buy you a cup of coffee. But what the Word of God says can introduce peace in times of turmoil. What the Word of God says can give you joy to keep on keeping on. What the Word of God says will put love in your heart and let you manifest it to everybody else so they can see that you are a child of God. I don't have to go around talking to people, tell them, "Yeah, I've been saved." You ought to see it in my walk. You ought to hear it in my talk. And people would tell you, "I was saved on Thursday night at 7. I don't know when I was saved. I don't know when I was born again. As I say many times, I don't know when I was born the first time, and I was there. I sure don't know when I was born the second time. Remember, one thing is for sure. This congregation, as it exists right now, will probably never be together just this place again. But while we are here, as we take our leave and leave each other, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. It is able to build you up and give you a place amongst all them that are sanctified. May God bless you and keep you. May He cause His countenance to shine upon you. May He forever be with you and give you peace.